anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim your name, my name." So we want to keep in mind Moses' plea to God when he said, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here." In the fall of 1947, a great spiritual hunger and dryness was rapidly growing. This had developed particularly within the Pentecostal sector, which had been birthed 40 years prior on Azusa Street in California. This movement had eventually spread to Canada, in particular in the province of Saskatchewan. But over the years, the fire had long since faded, leaving a renewed hunger for a new and fresh move of the Holy Spirit. By 1948, a healing evangelist named William Branham was literally filling stadiums around the world and filling people with the power of God. Precise physical conditions were called out by the word of knowledge, and healing of every imaginable disease was happening regularly in the meetings. During this time, a series of meetings were held in Vancouver, BC, and in three surrounding cities, attracting 70,000 people to the 14-day campaign. These meetings were interdenominational and largely defined by many hours of prayer and many supernatural occurrences. It was during this time that a small group of pastors and teachers from a small Bible school in North Battlefield, Saskatchewan, set out for Vancouver to receive all of God that they could. When this small group returned to the school, the students, through much prayer and fasting and the influence of these same pastors and teachers, ignited the revival that became known as the Latter Rain Movement, which quickly spread throughout the world. It is noted that God flooded the school with his power, his presence, and his glory. Pastor Ernest Hatwin of North Battlefield Bible School stated that day after day, the glory and power came upon us. Great repentance, humbling, fasting, and prayer prevailed in everyone. During this time of revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of God's presence, far surpassed the experience of the well-known Azusa Street Revival in 1906. From this outpouring, gifts of the Holy Spirit were ignited, people were healed, and the laying on of hands, which had not been common, became a widespread form of ministering, which radically impacted all who gathered. God was restoring not only the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church, but also a long sought-after knowledge and experience of his presence within the church. It is said that the whole atmosphere was electric with power and the presence of God. The question is this morning, are we hungry? Are we thirsty for the things of God, for the presence of God, for the power of God to be reignited within us, within our lives, within our families, within our churches? Within the last few weeks, I have experienced a strong longing for church to resume. to feel the presence of God as we come together to worship, to pray, to open the Word of God together, and experience and see the altar before us. The dryness of this season, and I am talking COVID, with the many closures that have happened as a result, has had its impact on the church long enough. It is time for God's people to come together and for God's presence to be felt and experienced once again together. I praise God that we are here this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Much like during Azusa and the Latter-day Rain movement, we need to hunger and thirst for his presence, his anointing, and his power. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." I'm thirsty this morning. But I want you to know this morning that we cannot outthirst God. For as thirsty as we are for his presence, he is that much and more thirsty for ours. He longs for us to be committed to prayer, to his word, to spending time and seeking him above all other things. He is calling us to come. He is calling us who are thirsty to come to the waters, for he is there waiting for us. Exodus 34:14 says, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Mary and Martha were good examples to us. The story of Mary and Martha takes place in Luke 10:38, 42, and again in John 12. Mary and Martha were the sisters of Lazarus, the man Jesus raised from the dead. The three siblings were also close friends of Jesus. Martha told Jesus while he was there visiting Martha told Jesus to order Mary to help her with the preparations. We need to remember that although we are all valuable to God and we all have purpose, our priorities matter. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus, hanging on and absorbing every word from him, because she knew that he was the Word. He was the Word of life. It is time for us to be different from the world, to tear down the idols that we have built in our lives. We need to sometimes turn off our phones, turn off our TVs, turn off the noise around us, and just worship and seek the true and living God. We need to seek him with all of our hearts and with all of our souls. We need to set aside that time with him, seeking his presence. He says, God says, that if you will seek me wholeheartedly, I will be found. We need to listen for his voice, hear him calling us, see him leading us, steering us into his paths of righteousness. In John 4:23, Jesus said, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." God is seeking us as we seek him. He is searching for those who will hunger and thirst for him, for his presence. He is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Moses understood that if God's presence did not go with him, if God's presence did not go before him, if God's presence did not surround him, if God's presence was not there to teach him, to open his eyes to the truths of his word, to lead him and to guide him, then it wasn't worth leading the Bible studies or the life groups or joining in prayer on Zoom on Monday nights or reopening the church on Sunday mornings or even fellowshipping with one another. That's how important God's presence was to Moses. And so I ask you this morning, is God's presence that important to us? Because we need to understand that without his presence, we are nothing and we have nothing. All of our works mean nothing, and all of our efforts are not worth the effort. Without his presence, we cannot reach the lost. We have very little influence on our neighbors or those we meet in grocery stores or on street corners. We need his presence, period. Moses said it, if I don't have your presence, if I don't see your glory, what else will distinguish us from all other people on the face of the earth? Peter understood what it was to be distinguished from others. And for him, it led to the denial of the most important person in his life, Jesus Christ. Both the book of Matthew and the book of Luke recount the horrifying moment during the trial and subsequent crucifixion of Jesus. Peter, when questioned in the courtyard if he knew Jesus, denied him. Not once, not twice, but three times. The word says, his speech betrayed him. He was a Galilean, and he had been with Jesus. Peter had been in his presence. There was no hiding who Peter was in Christ. Peter was, in fact, redeemed from that denial. Later in scriptures, when Jesus asked him three times after his resurrection if he loved him. But as a result of his continued and renewed passion for God's presence, for following Jesus, Peter never turned back and consequently, even willingly, experienced much suffering and even death, as a result of pursuing God. Peter's life shows us that there is a cost when we seek his presence. There is a cost when we align ourselves with God to step aside from the world's expectations of how we should act, who we should be, how we should talk, what we should believe, and who and what we should pursue. There is a cost. There's a cost when we stand firm for Jesus and his righteous ways. Sometimes a cost in our workplaces. Sometimes there's a cost in our homes. And sometimes even a cost in the church. But we must determine that we are willing to pay the price of pursuing and carrying his presence. And we must determine to continue to seek his presence in spite of the potential and probable cost. Henry J. M. Nguyen says this about suffering. As we grow old, we will have to stretch our arms, be guided and led to places we would rather not go. What was true for Peter will be true for us. There is suffering ahead of us, immense suffering. A suffering that will continue to tempt us to think that we have chosen the wrong road and that others were more shrewd than we were. But don't be surprised by pain. Be surprised by joy. Tommy Tenney, in his devotional book called Experiencing His Presence, assures us that once we determine to pay the price of His presence, we can then be prepared to live a life of uncommon courage and accomplishment in the kingdom. God loves to work through people who dare to believe Him and are determined to pursue His presence. We need to let God dominate our thoughts, our actions, how we talk, how we act. We need to let people see Jesus in us. We need to carry God's presence in our lives. We need to hunger and thirst after Him. His presence in our lives identifies who we are. It distinguishes us from the rest of the world. In his same book, Tenney also refers to the restless remnant. He says that the restless remnant is comprised of the few, the humble, and the broken, who refuse to bow their knees to false gods, false messiahs, false shepherds, or trivial religious pursuits, because they want only to see His face and dwell in His presence. The big problem with this remnant is that its members aren't easily categorized, cataloged, cross-referenced, or boxed. Their only common characteristic and the only prerequisite for membership is their defining hunger for the presence of the living God. As a congregation, as individuals, we need to bring ourselves to that place where we are hungry and thirsty for the presence of God. Our dedication to prayer, fasting, the Word, and the Spirit all working together are essential tools generating the passion we need in order to usher God's presence into our lives. Who ignites our passion for His presence? Is it us as we cry out for more of Him? Or is it God as He cries out for more of us? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. According to this verse, it would appear that it is dependent both on God and His people who are willing to humble themselves, pray, and turn from their ways. God is then able and willing to release His Spirit, igniting in us our hunger, our passion, and subsequently revival in each one of us and in our church. But let us be aware that God is not sitting back waiting for us to wait for Him. Tenney says, and I quote, "I am no longer in pursuit of the kind of revival where people come to hear a man preach. I am in pursuit of the reviver. When he comes to town, revival will come with him." God knows us by name. We need to seek God. We need to seek His presence. We need to say as Moses did, if Your presence does not go with us, if Your presence does not go with me, do not send me up from here. We need to seek Jesus. Let His presence go with us. Declare with me today that even as the worship song says, that He is our way maker through this wilderness of life, and that we will not go up from here unless his presence goes with us. We declare Jesus, the name above all other names, who mends every heart, restores the lost, breaks down the walls, whose name is above depression, loneliness, above every disease, above cancer, above everything else. Let us seek the one who lasts forever.